Would you turn your Bible to the Acts chapter 27? We've been studying this book over a year now, and we are about to close this book. It's been a wonderful study, at least to me. All right, let's start. Since ancient time, people, especially writers and poets, often picture life as a journey or voyage. John Bunyan's best-known book, Pilgrim's Progress, its theme comes from the journey. Also, you may remember this book, Odyssey by Homer, Greek poet, epic poem. You probably were told to do a book report when you were in high school. You hated it and you have no idea what it's talking about. I didn't either. And of course, Odyssey, the main character, Ulysses, was making a journey there. Do you know, in the day-to-day conversation, we often use the terms, the verbiage, metaphor, that concerning voyage, such as smooth sailing, don't make a shipwreck, or sink or swim. Paul had a long wait for the journey to Rome, so that he could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people in Rome. But he didn't expect exactly the way he would travel. He thought he would go there as a free man when he chose, whenever God led. But God had a different plan. It was a freebie all the way to the Rome. But he made the extra excitement on the journey. He didn't know that he was going to travel there as a prisoner of the Rome. Why would the author of this book, Dr. Luke, would include this and dedicate the entire chapter 27 for the voyage and the shipwreck? Could he not summarize the voyage in a couple of paragraphs? Of course he could. He is a good, skillful writer and inspired by the Holy Spirit, he could do that. But he wanted, Holy Spirit wanted us to learn something there. Because he wanted us to see the point that there's somebody had to rise above the situation. A difficult situation, take the leadership. Fathers, listen, you are the leader of the family. Whether you like to admit or not, whether your wife like to admit that or not, you are the leader. God put you as in charge. Then you got to take the lead. In some family, woman, you know, what we call wear the pants. You can tell right away. And wife tells husband, do this. Yes, ma'am. And then the guy says, oh, I get the last word. Of course you do. You say, yes, dear. It works many times because you can just avoid the fight. At the same time, you're missing out your call as a leader. Listen, being the leader of the family is very important as the man of God. So listen carefully for this study. God called us to be the leader, many of us, whether you're a man or a woman. You may not be in the ministry. You may not be in the situation you think that you are the leaders. But if you're surrounded by the unbelievers, you need to be the leader to tell them about Jesus Christ. In this case, this is the case in point. Paul was surrounded by that minimum of 276 unbelievers. And he is the one who is taking a leadership role. And Holy Spirit wants us to learn. And Dr. Luke certainly not writing an allegory story, but he did use this dramatic event to show how one man's faith can make a big difference for him and others in the storms of life, and even if they are not following the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, when we face the storms of life, many of us cowered, many of us in despair, many of us lose hope. But because we anchored ourselves to the immovable rock, solid rock, Jesus Christ, we can hold fast our faith in Him, in You. Father, we are asking You to speak to our heart that we may stay in the course, we may not shipwreck, we may not fall apart. Father, we are asking You to guide us with Your strong light that we may bring glory and honor and praise to Your name. Father, we pray for President Obama. With all these international events happening around him, let him make a wise decision, not his own carnal, fleshly decision, but the way You want. And we pray for our troops, especially one in the harm's way, or the one who goes into the harm's way. Father, we ask You to protect them, keep them safe. We also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters who protect our lives. We ask You to protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse 1 of chapter 27. We have a lot to cover. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoner to one named Julius, the centurion of the Augustan regiment. Entering the ship of that one, and we put to sea, and meaning to sail along the coast of Asia, Aristarchus, the Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly, gave him liberty to go to his friend and receive care. Verse 4, when we had put to sea from there, that we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus, because the wind was contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off the Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, the city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy. He put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days, arrived with a difficulty off Cnidus. The wind would not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of a Crete off the Salmone, passing it with a difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. Now when much time had been spent and the sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, and Paul advised them, saying, the men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. Stop there, please. They started from the Caesarea, and they are traveling coastal line, and probably it was one of those ships that stopped at just about every port, and went on to the Myra. And from here to traveling to the Cnidus, and they went to they're not necessarily they wanted to go this way. They probably go this way up to Rome. This is the shortest way. However, they could not. Remember, these people were not traveling with the engine or any other means except sail or oars. So they have to pretty much, depending on the way the wind comes, so they have to, they push down to the here and the Winter Haven. It's not in Tucson. Fair Havens. And from here to Phoenix is about 40 miles distance. To be exact, it's 30-some miles. So they will go here because it's a better place to stay there than Winter Haven. Let's try again. Fair Havens. which is not protected. They wanted to go, if everything went well, they left Caesarea at the late August. If everything went well from this Caesarea to the Rome, would be about 2 months. Now, we have to understand this. During the time, they could not travel well unless nature helped them. At Myra, they went on board another ship, which is the Alexandrian ship, which means that the ship came from Alexandria, Egypt. It was a much bigger ship, not coastal ship. It allowed 276 passengers to be on with the cargo. It's the grain. Rome depended much grain supply from Egypt. So they gave a special consideration to the owners who bring these cargoes into their land. In verse 9, Luke mentioned the fast. To go back there, fast. What does it mean, fast? Does it mean we're skipping meals? No, this means that the Day of Atonement, and also known as Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur usually happens from the mid-September to the September and the August time. But this particular time, this is the AD 59. That particular time of the Yom Kippur was August 5th. And every ancient sailor knows that from the mid-September to the November, this is a kind of dangerous time for the sea because there are a lot of overcasting and they cannot see the sun during the day or they cannot see the stars at night. That means they cannot navigate their ship well. By the sun, they could say, okay, we are going in the right direction. They could not do that. But from the mid-November to all the way to the February, they pretty much seize any sea traffic because the time become really bad and the sea become tempestuous. So they stop traveling. But these people somehow, it's only 40 miles, so we can travel. We will just follow the coastline of Crete. We can arrive in Phoenix. They chose to go on. Remember, these people did not have a GPS. They did not have a night vision goggles like a lot of people we have. They just have to depend on the stars at night or sun during the daytime. Now, Centurion now had to decide whether they would winter at the Fair Havens, which had an unprotected harbor, or go to the Phoenix area. Against the prophetic warning by Apostle Paul, they chose to go on. I'm sure they thought Paul, you should stick with what you do well, preaching. Let us do the navigating. By this time, Paul already experienced two shipwrecks according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He is no longer in the wanted welcome list of the Caribbean cruise or Princess cruise, Holland Express, because he was considered a shipwrecker. See, you have to understand a few things about the Apostle Paul. This man went through just about anything possible when it comes to the hardship. But he was willing to preach the Word of God in spite of all this. Let's go down to verse 13. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to the sea, that they sailed close to Crete, by Crete. But not long after, tempestuous headwind arose called Euclidon. So when the ship was caught, they could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of the island called Clauda, we secured a skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used a cable to undergird the ship, fearing lest they should run around Cyprus than sand. And they struck the sand, and so was driven. Verse 18, and because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, and next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor the stars appeared for many days, no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Think about this, folks. By now, sea water is sprayed freezing cold. It's about mid-October and heading to the November. And the rain and horrible wind are consistent, and they could not light up any fire to warm themselves up. And they're all drenched, soaking wet, all their supplies wet, above the deck and below deck were soaking wet. And think this. This ship is going up and down, side to side. If you have any food inside in your stomach, coming out. And somebody asked, have you seen, this sailor was up in the bridge and he was hauling everything out. And one guy asked, did the captain come up? And he said, if I swallow him, he's up already. I am blessed not to have the motion sickness that easily. Here's our advice for you. If you get to have motion sickness often, if you know that you are going to have motion sickness, eat banana. Because that's the only food that tastes the same when it comes up second time. And probably my wife's thinking, I cannot believe you said that. Verse 21, I'm just trying to be practical. But long absence from the food, then the Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. Don't you love to punch somebody who's saying, I told you so? And not have sailed from the Crete, incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for that there will be no loss of life among you, and only the ship. Paul started the voyage as a prisoner. He ended the voyage as a captain. He took over the situation when it was obvious that no one else knew what to do because they all lost their hope. Crisis does not make a person. Rather, crisis shows up what person is made of, and it tends to bring true leadership to the surface. Paul gently rebuked them with that I told you so remark, and he continued soon that they will discover that God would spare them for the sake of Paul, all of them. At their most hopeless, despairing moment, the Lord cast three important spiritual anchors in their heart through Apostle Paul. First anchor, the Lord tossed out the anchor of his presence. Go down to verse 23, please. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. Indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, when the 14th night had come, get this, between verse 26 and verse 27, there are 10 days difference. Keep that in back of your mind, please. On the first 14th day night come, and as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some island. And they took the sounding and found it at 20 fathoms, that's about 120 feet. And they had gone a little farther. They took a sounding again and found a 15 fathom, that's about 90 feet. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped the four anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. As the sailor was seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, on the pretense of putting out anchor from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then soldiers cut away the rope of the skiff and let it fall off. Stop there, please. Twice Paul told them, stay in the ship. God will spare you. Because God is with them for the sake of Paul, as he promised. And the rest of people would be saved. Nothing was more terrifying than fearing death alone or danger alone. Ask any child who is fearing that imaginary monster under the bed and while mom and dad is sleeping in the other room. By the way, I think I mentioned this. Please don't say that nighttime prayer, bedtime prayer. You know how that goes. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord soul, my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, great encouragement. I pray from the Lord my soul to keep, soul to take. What? No wonder why the child has a nightmare. How about this? Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, his love to guard me through the night and wake me in the morning light. Isn't that better? Back to the stormy sea. That's the Lord's presence means that with them, the stormy sea is over? No. As I mentioned, between the Paul's comment and end of this stormy sea, there was over 10 days continuous. They are off the course for another 500 miles. And at that glimpse of the first island, some of the crew members decided they would take it from here with their own strength. Doesn't that sound like what we would do? God give us a break from the trials and tests. So at that first break, we say, okay, God, we'll take it from here. No, stay with the Lord. You will be saved. Second anchor we find is the Lord cast the anchor of practical encouragement. Verse 33. As the day was about dawn, Paul implored them all to take food and saying, today is the 14th day that you have waited and continue without food, eaten nothing. Therefore I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. When he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. Verse 37, and in all we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. Stop there again. Think about the people's situation in this ship. For 14th day, they did not eat anything. If they ate anything, they hauled it out. And they were completely exhausted. They were completely drained. Even if they could get off the ship, they could not swim to the island. So they must have the strength. Paul took bread and prayed over the meal. And it was the bread he was about to have. And gave thanks to the Lord for the bread. This reminds me that I know some of you don't pray before meal because you're sitting with somebody, some unbelievers, your co-workers, your family members who are not believers. Now, especially today, as a Father's Day, you may have a lot of you guys have a family member at home. Pray before the meal, out loud. If they said, I'm not a believer, that's okay, I'll pray for you too. Just pray. Don't be ashamed of your God. He's not ashamed of you. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember that? Jesus is not ashamed of you. He knew exactly what you're made out of. He knew what he was getting. When he saved me, he knew what he was getting. But he's not ashamed of me. He's not ashamed of you. So why should you be ashamed of him? Pray before the meal. I'm not saying you go on until your gravy starts to form the film on the top. Just give thanks to the Lord for the food. When I have a meal with some of my deputies in the sheriff department, when I do the ride along, we go into the restaurant and we eat like a Subway. And of course, they grab a bite of the sandwich and start to eat. And then I start to pray. And they put down the sandwich down and look at me like, oh, why didn't you say so? And they have a food in their mouth. They just sit there politely. Doesn't matter where you are. Pray. Okay? Give thanks to the Lord for your food. Third anchor. The Lord lowered the anchor of absolute faith. Verse 39. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run a ship if possible. And when they let go of the anchor and let them into the sea. And meanwhile, they're loosening the rudder rope, and they hoist the mainsail to the wind and made it for the shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the plow struck it fast and it remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves, and the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, keep them from their purpose, and command them that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to the land, and the rest get on board and some on the part of the ship. So it was that they all escaped safely to the land. Just as the Lord promised, all of them made it to the shore. Not one person was lost. I have a feeling that Paul had been sharing the gospel with these people, 276 people, if not all, at least some of them. But by now, they know that who is in charge, not the skipper, not the navigator, or the captain, even the centurion. They knew, all of them knew that Paul was in charge. Through this experience, do you think some of them came to know Jesus Christ? Of course, the Dr. Luke does not give us any detail about it. But how can you expect anything else from the Apostle Paul? Let me ask this. You are born-again Christian. I know many of you. As a born-again Christian, how can you not share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the unbelievers? It should be a natural thing for you. With this lesson, we should come up with a few timeless truths and applications. Number one, a shipwreck can come to us even when we are going to the right direction of the Lord. Was Paul going to the Rome as the Lord told him to go? Yes. He was going. Then why did he go through this rough voyage and he went through the shipwreck? Remember, Satan did not want Paul to go to Rome. This is a strategic place, the center of the whole empire. And it was practically evil center of the whole place, the whole empire as well. Satan did not want him, so he fought every way, every inch of the way. Second application, a shipwreck has a way of revealing true character. A shipwreck has a way of revealing true character. I'm sure some of you remember this, what I said this before. Reputation is what other people think about you, but the character is what God knows about you. Did you know what I said? God knows about you. What you do behind the closed door, that's the character. Not what you show to other people. I like this one. Christians are like tea bags. You don't know how strong they will be until they are in the hot water. Would you agree with that? Yes. Third application. A shipwreck and tempestuous storm cannot hide the very presence and the purpose of God. The Lord promised Paul that he would see the emperor, and he did. And nothing can hinder the will and purpose and the presence of God. Nothing. Fourth application. Come on, stay awake with me. I'm almost done. A shipwreck and tempestuous storm give us opportunity to serve others like Apostle Paul did and to witness to Jesus Christ. At the beginning of voyage, Paul was ignored. At the end of voyage, Paul was listened to. He earned their respect to be heard. How about you? At your work, at your home, do you earn their respect to be heard? Because you represent Jesus Christ? I hope so.